Amen, church. Was that awesome? Yes, amen. Church, do we sit? Aren't you glad we have a mighty God, right? Where all things are possible. So can we get a good clap offering for Christ? Yeah. I tell you, it's such a blessing to be here with you all this morning. And I know we all had a busy week, and if you were here for a Global Leadership Summit on Thursday and Friday, it was just totally amazing, absolutely. And so here we are on Sunday, gathered together again to worship our Lord. And so welcome, welcome. My name is Yvonne, and I'm always blessed to be able to be up here and to have the honor of sharing God's word with you. And so I want to welcome you. Welcome to week 3 of our sermon series titled Peeled, God's Life in You, where we're taking a look at the fruit of the Spirit with these cool props that's found in Galatians 5:22 and verse 23. And so before we begin, would you just bow your head in prayer with me? Father God, Lord, we are in your house this morning full of thanksgiving, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are a mighty God, that all things are possible because of you, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, and even more thankful that he rose again, that we can have victory. Lord, we love you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So again, welcome. Today we are looking again at the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And it says in the NLT version, it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against all these things." So today, we are going to talk about patience. And I want to teach you a little something about patience. See, in Samoa, we have a word that means patience. And the word is onusai. And so every time something would happen that I got frustrated throughout my life, my parents would always look at me and say, "Eh, yeah, okay, Yvonne, onsa'i, yeah, onsa'i." And that just meant, just be patient, Yvonne, just be patient. It'll all work out. So I want us to practice that this morning. I'm going to teach you a Samoan word, onsa'i. Can you guys say that? Onsa'i. Nice. Say it one more time, onsa'i. All right. So I'm just going to make a couple of statements, a few statements, and every time I say the statement, you just say onsa'i, okay? So, when the cashier is slow and you've been standing in line for a while. When traffic is at a standstill and you're late for work. When the kids are acting up. Onsa'i, right? And how about when the spouse is on your last nerve? Onsa'i, right? Yeah, onsa'i. My mom used to always say that. Yeah, say onsa'i, yeah. Just go and cook Jerry's dinner. All right. So the different versions of the Bible use different words for patience. Like the NIV says, forbearance. The King James Version says, long-suffering. So this morning, I want to expound on these three words using examples from the Bible. Patience, forbearance, and long-suffering. 2 weeks ago, Major Phil started up our sermon series, and he put this scripture into context for us, that the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ, that when the Holy Spirit lives in us, like it says in Galatians, that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and we become more like Christ. So just take note, everyone, that it says that the Holy Spirit produces the fruit, not us. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to live in us so that he can do his work through us. It's not something that we can do on our own. So today again, we will look at the character of Christ called patience. You know, last Sunday, I was asking my women's Bible study to pray for me as I prepared to preach this week on patience. And a couple of days later, I get this text message from Jeannie. She's like kind of our kolohe girl. She's always joking around. And, you know, I get it. Because if you follow the order in Galatians, it would seem that today we should be talking about peace. So like Jeannie, maybe some of you are thinking, hey, what happened to peace? Well, it's coming. Just be patient. See, that's why I love the ladies in our group. It's truly a sisterhood. If you think that our Bible studies are like a time of being holier than thou or super serious, it's so not. We laugh together, we cry together, we even challenge each other from time to time. And if you're not in one of these groups, if you're not in a Bible study or an Ohana group, I want to encourage you to get into one. Because it is this group where relationships are built, and it is this group that supports you through the thick and thins of life. All right, back to patience. Patience in an impatient world. So, church, if patience is a character of Christ, then why are we so impatient? I mean, today it's all about fast food drive-thru, microwave ovens, high-speed internet. Don't let that thing buffer on us. Movies on demand, same-day delivery, text messaging, instant communication, Instagram, Snapchat. Now, are any of these things a problem? Maybe not, unless you mistakenly sent the text message you meant for your spouse to your boss. Now that could be awkward and embarrassing. So who of us likes to wait on anything? Well, truth be told, none of us like to wait, right? Everyone is short on patience. I mean, if the clock were to strike 11:30 here today, and I was still up here talking, some of you would be squirming in your seat. Others of you would be gone. But here's the real problem for impatient people, especially for us impatient Christians. This is what it is. God's plan is rarely instant. See, we all like to recite Jeremiah 29:11, right, that says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." But does anyone read the verse right before verse 11? Does anyone read Jeremiah 29:10 that says, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place." Church, to get to God's promise, there is a process. To be successful through the process, it takes patience. Look at Joseph. And I'm pretty sure everybody here is familiar with the story of Joseph. And if you're not, please read about his life in the book of Genesis. See, Joseph was a guy with big dreams. Ever since he was a little kid, he would tell his brothers all the time about his dreams. And Joseph had big dreams, and in the end, he was a very successful and prosperous man. But he went through a long process to get from the pit to the palace. You see, we all dream, as we should. That's a great thing. But not all of us are willing to go through the process that God has for us to go from the pit to the palace like Joseph did. See, Joseph, he was despised by his brothers. They sold him as a slave when he was just a teenager. He spent years as a servant in Potiphar's house. Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife of a sexual crime that he did not commit. And then he spent years in jail despite his innocence. Joseph was forgotten by someone who helped to get out of jail, who had promised to put in a good word for Joseph to get him released too. But it never happened. Again and again, it seemed that life dealt Joseph a hard hand. And yet, through all the years of mistreatment, Joseph's character remained intact. Joseph was patient through the process, and God rewarded his faithfulness. Joseph became a great ruler in the land of Egypt. Church, God won't take you where your character can't keep you. You see, years later, when their father Jacob passed away, Joseph's brothers came before him in fear that now that daddy was gone, Joseph would exert his power and take revenge against his brothers for what they had done to him in the past. But look what Genesis 50 tells us about what Joseph said to his brothers. It says in verse 19, "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.'" You see, God used Joseph in a great time of famine to save many, many, many lives. And part of that process of Joseph going through all of that was to prepare him to be a great ruler and to be this leader who would save many lives during the famine, including Joseph's own family. See, church, when we go through tough times and it seems like it's never going to end, or it seems like life is so unfair, God is actually preparing us for something bigger. Something bigger that we can't see and that we don't understand in this moment. And it usually isn't just about us as an individual, but God wants to use you to do a bigger work, to impact and save the lives of others, including our own family. So be patient and remain faithful. As I mentioned earlier, another word for patience in the Bible is forbearance. Forbearance means self-control and restraint. So this is a good time to talk about our finances. Church, how much self-control and restraint do you have in your finances? You've heard that saying that people don't plan to fail, they just fail to plan. And in this world of instant gratification, where I want it now, do you have enough self-control and restraint not to spend beyond your means? Proverbs 21:5 says this: "Good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty." Are you putting away money and patiently waiting for it to grow over time? Do you have a financial plan to retire well and to sustain the quality of life that you've become accustomed to? See, that's why we run the Dave Ramsey course, so that you can get educated and be well in your finances now and in the future. I'll tell you a little story. When I went to Sears one day, and I was making my purchase, and when I got to the counter, I was paying in cash. And the young lady there, she must have been like her early 20s, she said, "Hey, Auntie, you want to apply for our credit card? Because if you apply for our Sears credit card, then I can give you a 10% discount on this purchase." And I said, "Really?" I said, "What's the interest rate on your credit card?" And she had no clue. And so I said, "Sweetie, let me tell you what your interest rate is. It is 27%. So if you're giving me a 10% discount today, but I'm paying 27% on your credit card, am I really getting a discount? And if from here on out, for every $100 I spend with your credit card, I'm paying $27 interest, am I really getting a deal?" She had no clue what she was trying to sell me. That day, she got a good financial lesson. So, church, are you patient enough to save up for the things that you want instead of charging them on high-interest credit cards? And maybe more importantly, what are you teaching your children about money? Do you consistently tithe so that you can see the hand of God move in your finances? Malachi 3:10 says this, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house to eat. Trust me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see that I would not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing so much that you will not be able to contain it." Church, do you believe that? If you believe the Bible to be true, from Genesis to Revelation, then Malachi is right there at the end of the Old Testament. You have to believe that that's true as well, and you have to trust God. Because the tithe is another promise with a process. You know, some people will tithe like once or even twice, and they get totally impatient with God because like a gazillion dollars didn't miraculously show up in their account the next day. But it doesn't work like that. Tithing, church, is about showing your faithfulness and trust in God through your tithe over time. It's truly putting God first in all things, including your finances, and he will be faithful to open the floodgates of heaven. And sometimes it's in dollars. Sometimes it's in favor in a situation that you're going through, but it's always a blessing. And then my last one, the word for patience here is long-suffering. How many of you are married? See, because getting married is easy. It's staying married that takes work and lots of patience. I know. I've been married to the same guy for 36 years. Oh. Right? Yes. Praise Jesus. And I'm sure that he can say the same. And I'm not just talking about a spouse here. It's everything that comes with marriage. Because marriage is one thing, and then raising kids takes much self-sacrifice and patience, right? There's another story that I love in the Old Testament, and it's the story of Jacob and Rachel. And this is the father of the boys that I was talking about earlier. So Jacob is at a point in his life where he's ready to get married, and so he goes on the hunt for his wife. And I'm doing the abbreviated version, but you can go read it in Genesis 29. And so he meets up with Rachel, who is absolutely beautiful, and Jacob is smitten. And he wants to marry Rachel so bad. So he goes to her father, who is Laban, and he proposes for Rachel's hand. And Laban says, "Yes, I will let you marry my daughter, but you must first work 7 years for me before I will give my daughter's hand unto you." Guys, how many of you are willing to work 7 years or have done for your wife? So Jacob does that. Jacob works 7 years, and he is allowed to marry Rachel. The only problem is that the wedding happens, the honeymoon happens, he wakes up in the morning, and it's actually not Rachel. He's been tricked by Laban, and it's her sister Leah. Now, the Bible says that Leah was of weak eyes, and I'm not sure what that means, but I'm pretty sure it means that Leah wasn't as gorgeous as Rachel was. And so maybe Jacob is disappointed, but he's so in love with Rachel that he tells Laban, "I still want to marry Rachel." And so Laban says, "All right, I will give you Rachel, but you got to work another 7 years." Right? And that's what Jacob does. He works another 7 years to marry the love of his life, 14 years total. Now, is that not love, right? It's that kind of love that sustains you over the years. It's that kind of love that gets you through the long suffering, for richer or poorer, for better or worse, in sickness and in health. The long suffering is because you can get through the long suffering because of love. How many of you have been patiently praying and waiting for a loved one to come to Christ? Here's another one, maybe long suffering, right? You've been praying and praying for your loved one to come to Christ. I want to tell you this story about me coming to Christ. And my brother, his name is Dale, he was a pastor. And I used to work, I don't know if I can say work alongside him in his church, because I was a Sunday school teacher, but that was on Sunday. And then Monday through Saturday, like, my life looked nothing like a Sunday school teacher. But I would always see him when we joined them in the regular service, and he'd be crying, and he'd be praying, and he'd be crying, and he'd be praying. And later, and I'm sure throughout the week, he did the same. And he did that year in and year out, and year in and year out. And I was still living my life however I was living my life. But he never gave up. He kept praying, and he kept crying. And sometimes I'd like come to church, and I was like, what the heck? Why is our pastor always crying? But I knew it was the long suffering. It was the love that he had for me, that he had the patience to keep praying. No matter what his eyes saw, no matter what his ears heard about me, he kept praying. He was patient. And today, it's by no miracle that I stand here before you on this stage. Privileged to bring forth the word of God. And my brother passed away when we were young. He passed away at 45. He is older than me. But I'm sure as he's looking down now, he's so blessed, right? And so I want to say this to you all. Who are you praying for? And I'm going to call the praise and worship up because we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. But who are you praying for? Don't give up. When you truly love God, just like Jacob said, that the long suffering seems as only a few days because the prize is so worth it. When you love someone so much that you're going to pray them into the kingdom, that you're never going to give up, that you're going to be patient through the long suffering, God is faithful. Just as God is faithful through every other situation, he is faithful. And just like me, I didn't come like a week after my brother started praying. I didn't come even a month. I came 10 years after he started praying for me, right? So we serve a mighty and faithful God. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And so I want to ask everyone here today, what are you patiently praying about? Are you going through a process that you need prayer to help you continue through that process? Are you stuck in your finances that you need God to help you there? Are you praying in a relationship that you're praying for somebody else either to come to Christ or for restoration? I just want to take these next few moments that we would all pause to lift it up to Christ. Whatever it is that we've been called to be patient about, would you lift that up in prayer while the praise and worship team sings? And if you want to come forward, we have our team who is honored to pray for you. So I'm going to let the praise and worship sing. Come forward if you need to. Pray for your patience. Church, let me pray for us. Father God, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your patience with us. That even when we fall short, Father God, your love is unconditional. Your love for us is long-suffering. Your love, Heavenly Father, is like no other love. And so, Father, I ask that you would help us. Help us, Heavenly Father, not to focus on the instant of this life, all the things that we want now. But, Lord, help us, Heavenly Father, to submit ourselves to you, to your process, Father God, that you would build us and refine us, Father God, that you would use us, Heavenly Father, to be bearers of the good news to others, to be a witness, Heavenly Father, to be willing to be transparent with our lives. Father, whatever it takes to bring more people into the kingdom, to life everlasting, to receive the free gift of salvation, help us, Heavenly Father, to be patient in the process, that we might be an amazing example of Christ. And Father, we just thank you again for who you are in our lives. And Father God, I just ask that you would bless each and every one that is here this morning and every family that is represented, Father God, that love would overflow, Lord. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.